Okay, I don't have a, this is my pointer. First of all, I think there's some extras here, but why don't all of you just take one of these? Just take one and pass around. You can put it in the bus with you in your car. It tells a little bit about the history of 16 to 1 or something, and you'll know. We have a website. You'll be able to read about what's going on or participate in our forum or comment on your tour or whatever you want to do. So that'll be great. And then, you're going to see more of the gold back here. People have helped this museum out, which is really nice. So there's some really nice pieces of gold that she's going to put out for you when you come back. She's going to come back here about 1 o'clock, and I said we'd probably be back here about 1:30 or so.
I was talking about the jewelry quality of your gold, too.
Yeah, well, I've got two things. This is my, pass these around, and I want them back. Especially this, I won't miss that. I was passing a gold piece. This is important to just look at, hold that. I know the light's really bad in here. I'm so sorry, but you'll see more. But this is the quartz. This is the home, the host of the gold. And the gold, what we call gold, is 22 karat. What's pure gold?
24.
All right. See, I have some fun too, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know it all. I want you to know more. So this is 22 karat, and what else is in it is silver. So our gold is 85% our gold is 85% gold and about 14.5% silver, and there's very little impurities in there.
So is it hard gold?
It's not particular. 24 is softer, you know.
24 softer,
but
it's higher. Yeah.
But it's and most of you, like, if you have 14 karat gold, that's about 55% gold, and they put other minerals in there to get whatever characteristic they want. And gold has some really unusual and great uses now with solar and, you know, heat reflecting. Space program would absolutely, definitely use gold. And the military electrical, so important electrical components are treated with gold because they won't oxidize. The reason the gold is been revered for thousands of years, they say 6,000 years going back, is because there's nothing on earth that will attack it. You can create a man-made acid that will dissolve it, but there's nothing on earth that will dissolve gold.
You want to talk about the structure of the gold too, Mike, a little bit, as opposed to a nugget? This has got little holes in it.
Yeah. Well, it's and here's this is my bracelet. That's why I really want it back. So. I mean, I want it back anyway, but I had that made, and it's it goes into cabochons. But the gold itself, what for a long time people said, "Oh, you're just a boutique mine," and I used to resent that, you know, because we're really miners and we're doing the same stuff that they do. But I grew to understand, and in my own mind, where it's okay, it doesn't bother me. And meaning that it's a little bit special. And this gold, the quartz that you see, and then the gold in it, we are almost really quartz. We almost mine the quartz, and we get more money for the quartz if it has gold in it in a certain pattern and distribution. The interesting thing is one reason we're here is when gold got down to 250 or 300 an ounce, when we cut it up and put it into cabochon, and then sell it. We cut it up into slabs, and you'll see some slabs over there. And then we sell it to two or three different major manufacturers. They cut it up and put it into rings or pendants or anything like that. It's a wonderful stone. Pure natural, 118 to 120 million years ago is when it was formed here. No alteration, no chemically treated or heat treated to enhance the colors. Lot of energy to it because of the disparity between the quartz and the gold. So we sell the highest grade of our quartz and gold when it comes out, about 4,000, from the mine about 4,000 an ounce. And then when they cut it down and put it into cabs, of course it's a gemstone. It's rarer than probably most any stone out there, it's just not that well known. There's some of it's crystalline, which is what Bill was talking about. And it formed, like I said, it formed about 118 million years ago. It's what's called a hydrothermal solution came up. And if you were all geologists in here, each one of you could have a different opinion, and you guys could argue like crazy that yours is right. And at the end of the day, your opinion's as good as her opinion, you know? And I love the geologists. They tell you where you've been or what you've got after they've been there, you know? And they're a great group of people, great science that try to help us find gold. The mining engineers are a little more practical, and they have a little, the engineering part helps you a little bit more in design. But the greatest change in the last 15 years has been the metal detector. We introduced a metal detector here in 1982, and it was just like kids in a candy store. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, you think the old guys got it all, and we got to where we got this one detector, and we increased it a little bit or changed it a little bit, and we could find a match head of gold in 4 feet of quartz. I'm not going to impress how sorry state our financials are, but we're broke right now. But I'm trying to raise some money to go to this next level, which one will be to create this. It's a $250,000 budget to take almost existing hardware and computers and things like that. We've been testing this since 1993, really. And we need to go out in the field and do some work and bring it back so they can adjust it. We want it miner proof, so look, oh, red, that means no gold. Blue, oh, that's gold, you know, something really simple. And also make it so it can work underground, not in a laboratory where you have everything, you know, you have a clean room and everything's really wonderful, but in a mine where there's dripping water and there's irregular rocks and all this kind of stuff. And we'll do it. I mean, as soon as we get the money, we will have, within 18 months or less, we'll have a metal detector that is going to really revolutionize this sad California gold belt, because let's say you guys wanted to make an investment in gold for the future. You're going to evaluate all the risk and say, man, this looks too risky. But once that metal detector comes out, it's going to make it so this type of mining, let me tell you what we are. We're traditional hard rock, underground, small vein gold miners. And that's, you know, you asked about distinguishing what is different up here, what you see. All of those, I could probably add a couple more, but those basically all have a connotation of what type of mining is here. We still use track. We don't use, quote, jumbos, these drills that have, you know, machines that have five drills. Our dump truck doesn't cost $1 million. You know, it didn't cost $650 million to open up the mine. I'm trying to raise $3.5 million right now, and with that money, we got to use the proceeds. I think then we can go and find enough that we'll not have to go to the investors or anything again, or a bank. So those are the kind of where we are and why this, I guess, company has been in existence. Why I'm very positive that it'll go for another 100 years. Anyways, we're right here. Maps, mining maps again, are crazy. So the directions of what we'll talk about when you see the vein and when we get underground or where we are, you can think about, I'll tell you when we're underground, when we're right back when we're going to be by this fish pond is when we're going to be underground here, but we'll be farther to the east. But we'll be about 900 feet down below the surface. Right here, the maps have two dimensions that we talk about. Dip, there'll be a test at the end of the day. Your driver won't let you back in if you don't at least a C. Okay, dip and strike. All right, strike is north and south here. That's like highway. That's the highway coming up here. So the vein here strikes to the north and south. North is that direction. So this is the direction of the vein. Okay. The dip is dipping to the east. And the dip varies from, say, flat 20 degrees to about 50 or 60 degrees. 20 degrees, 60 degrees. well, 60 degrees would be more like that, I think. But, and then this area was studied an awful lot by people in the 1920s and earlier than that. Most of the gold is found where the vein is a little bit flatter, like in the 30s or degrees. So if you can, by the way, there's 30 miles of tunnels below us. Now, to put that into perspective, Grass Valley, Nevada City has 350 miles of tunnels. The Empire Mine is a wonderful mine. This is a wonderful mine, too. It's just very different. It's like comparing apples and oranges.
They're going there tomorrow.
Are you? Well, you'll see their map room in this. But this, you have to now imagine this, every one of these levels. We're going to go to the portal right here. So this is daylight. This is Kanaka Creek right in here. So it's like a weird map because these levels are coming out. This is the 800 level. I'll show you where we're going to go first. I'll try to explain this. We're going to go in the 800 level, the portal. This was put in actually 1983. I'll talk a little more about that when we get in there. But we're going to go back here. We're going to go back here. This is a tightener shaft. We're going to see that. And we're going to continue here. And we're going to go right about to here. Now the water, this would be called, we'll call it the 800 level. The water right now is being held at the 1500 level, which is right here. So below here is now, we let it fill up with water. Before we had pumped it all the way out and sunk us winds over here, but it was too expensive to keep the water up at that level. I kept it up there for years, being an optimist, thinking we were going to go back here and good things were going to happen, but it didn't happen, so we let it come up. Our last big pocket of gold came from right about here, and that was July 14th of 2004. We had some guys working on a contract because we were a little bit struggling then, and it was grim and hard work, and I was going to stop on August 1st, and my son was one of the guys working, and I said, I'm going to stop this thing because you guys are making me nervous. You're so tired and everything. He said, nah, let's go a little bit farther. I feel something's going to happen. Bingo, about 3 days later, we hit this $1 million, about $1.2 million. And they all got about $70,000 each. So that was the deal. So it was really good for everyone. Anyways, that we've been living on that gold. We had a $1 million day back down here where actually we did, in one shift, we did 2,500 ounces. That's when gold is 400 an ounce. And it was a lot of fun, and we had the news people up in Sacramento. We packed it out. We had the TV stations in Sacramento going crazy, and we were just having fun. You know, I mean, it was just fun. And then one of the guys came and said, Mike, we just told everybody in Sacramento that we're in this little town, and we just found, you know, $1 million worth of gold. I said, oh, God. So we called an armored truck, and we had the TV. So an armored truck came up, and TV cameras, got the truck. We all waved goodbye as the truck went down the road to Sacramento. And I went down the next day in my old truck and drove around. Nobody was following me. Drove into where the armored truck place was. Put all the quartz and gold back in the bed of my truck. Drove out and drove it right back up here the next day. Felt perfectly safe. And the way you might ask, well, how do we know how much gold is in that specimen, that little rock? Archimedes, remember?
Weight and displacement.
Weight and displacement. So we know the specific gravity of the quartz. We know the specific gravity of the gold. We can do a formula. We can weigh it. We weigh it dry on our scales. Then we dangle it and submerged in water. We weigh it. It'll weigh less in water. Subtract the difference. Look at the chart. Get the thing going. We can tell exactly how much gold is in that rock. And so that's what we do. We're very careful about our inventory and tracking the material. Anyway, so these things, this is the southern part of the mine, this is the northern part of the mine, and we're going to go north. And our future, we're going to abandon this for a while. We found gold down here, but it was during about 1997, 96, 97, and there was just too much interference here at that time. It was the end of an administration that had the regulators almost making it impossible. Most of the people had quit by then anyway in the mines. so we know there's gold down here. We did some work, which was good. But we're going to come back over here in the Red Star. If you read about this on our website, if you do ever, if you have an interest when you leave here, I really encourage you to look at that. You'll find an awful lot of interesting history on the forum and also in the other indexes on there about the mine. But our plans are to sink a new shaft here, go down. It's virgin ground. It's never been really mined extensively. There's been enough tunnels to know that the vein goes in there and they've been productive. But behind us here, we're right about on the lava cap. So the geology of this is that it was up higher, it eroded down, a river was going this way, lava hit it and just covered everything up. Then it eroded down again to where we see it today. And they were mining that dead river, it was called, the Blue Lead. It's called the Blue Lead. It goes from up here all the way for down way south in California, and it was very rich in this area with placer gold. Placer gold is gold that's moved from its point of origin. This is lode gold, L-O-D-E, lode gold. So this means that what we're seeing is where it was actually formed. It wasn't moved by water or wind or anything like that. I'm about to ask a couple of questions.
What are the black dots?
They're gold. They're gold dots. These are the pockets, see? This is what's called a pocket mine, and I used to resent that a lot, too. And that means that it's just haphazard and random. It's random, but it's not just haphazard. There's actually zones, and you can actually see on a this scale is pretty small or large. I don't know, small. But if you had if you were using 1 inch as 5 feet or 10 feet or something like that, you could see a lot more of the structure in here. But there's definite ore zones in here. These are the concentrations. We're going to walk by, and I have to remember to tell you, we're going to be walking by right where the largest pocket in was found, 89,000 ounces in a room that was 20 by 40. It was massive. One of the guys that I met when I came here was an older guy, and he was a kid when he was working in the 1930s. And the specimen boss or the manager said, "We got to go down and work on a Saturday. We're going to get some gold out." And he said it was so hard to chop it out. It was almost like chopping out firewood. And it's hard to believe how massive the concentration, the concentrated the gold is in here. We had one rock that weighed 180 pounds, and it had 660 ounces of gold. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to get a big old garbage can to weigh that one. So, so these are pockets with the different sizes, and our biggest pocket, I think it was 10,000 ounces, and it was right over here. And not all of them are on the mine. But you can kind of see the trends, and it gives you a little bit of an edge. And you can see the dead zones, too, where there's no gold, and try to avoid them. I don't want to minimize the risk. It's a risky business because it's not as proven as the mines in Nevada or the mines in South Africa or Australia. Because what they do is they put all these series of holes in, and they extrapolate the results of the drilling and then project so many ounces. But they're also misleading. If you're investing in it, be very careful of any gold. Be very careful of whatever you do. But there's been a real compromising of words and values to make mining situations more compatible to the stock market. And one of them was called proven reserves. When I'm out trying to raise some money or get somebody interested, the first question they'll always ask are, "What's your proven reserves?" And I say, "There are none." "Well, how do you, there are none? Well, how do you know there's any gold left?" I say, "Well, you know," they want a 30-second answer. That's about the attention span this day. And say, if you want to really know, okay, I'll spend some time, we'll look at the maps and geology and why we're sure that this thing is not tapped out. And by the way, every independent geologist has looked at this, said that 80% of the vein system that has shown evidence of being production remains unmined. And we've got known record 1.2 million ounces out of here. So that's $1 billion today. But if we did our, you know, our gold sales and our jewelry, by the way, where is my bracelet?
Yeah. Thank you.
keeping it warm.
Yeah. You know, I wish you were going to Downeyville, because there's a store we opened in Downeyville that's got a lot of our gold jewelry there, too. And this museum doesn't have a lot, but you guys would love it. Anyways, it's... I forgot what I was going to say, because I got sidetracked on my brain.
The proven reserves.
Oh, the proven reserves. Yeah. Proven reserves mean that it's ore that will be economically profitable on the surface. Now, they're not telling you all that. They're in Tangeria or Mongolia, you know, or they're in Bolivia where the government just confiscated the mines and they've just blown off $650 million that they spent trying to open something. So they've got all these different, they got proven, probable, inferred, and now they've got it called a resource, just to confuse you, or to maybe satisfy the banks or whatever, the retirement accounts or something like that.
It's marketing.
And I just made a decision years ago not to lie. You know, the hell with it. You know, life's not worth doing that in this business. But I say to them, why, if it's so remote, why is this the last one still working? Why are we even here? And we've been here now 100 years with no reserves. And you know, I can't go much beyond that except to say, if you really want to send somebody up and look at our job, we have geologists, we've got maps and records, we've got use of proceeds, plans that we want to do. And by the way, people think gold is going to be 1500 an ounce. And I'm happy, just so you know, $949 an ounce is a wonderful price right now. It's a lot better than 250 or 3. And our gold sales, we could sell every piece of rock that we found in there to the people that want it for jewelry. I'm getting calls from all over the country. And what we've had to do is just keep three basic of our main suppliers in the product that we have, and the rest are just, I'm sorry, we just don't have any right now. And so it's a pretty great opportunity. And then the other thing that the company has here is you look around timber rights and water rights. And we've been approved by PG&E to put a hydro plant in. It's about $100,000 operation. We've got a buyback contract all done. It'll cost us $100,000 to build it, and we'll be making about $42,000 a year. So we'll pay it back in 3 years, and it'll run for 20. I wish I'd done it 15 years ago.
Sure.
But, and we also call ourselves green miners, too. So, well, we're going to, I guess, head on down.